Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, the Potter who shapes our lives, and in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Earlier this year, I heard a story on NPR about one business which was thriving during COVID, Smash Rooms. Have you heard of them? At a Smash Room, you put on full suit of protective gear, covering your face, your eyes, your hands, and then you go into a room with a sledgehammer or a baseball bat, and you smash things. Ceramics, electronics, furniture, you name it. You get to just smash things into pieces in a safe, sanctioned environment. In a year when frustration and anxiety reigned, when so many businesses were struggling, these businesses prospered. Jeremiah didn't have a smash room. But in the reading today, we see him express frustration and anger, his, God's, both, by smashing pottery against a wall. Now, most of us are familiar with the reading about the potter and the clay, that classic image from Jeremiah, the intimate care that's presented there, God's attention to reforming and reshaping God's people. But we less often hear the full context with the judgment of Judah that is inherent in that story. Or certainly this story in which God tells Jeremiah to go get a pot and to break it against a wall. Thus shall I break Judah. It's a metaphor, of course. All our language about God is a metaphor. And it's a powerful one, an image which captures our attention. Our God is a God so involved with us, so attached to God's people, that their unfaithfulness and stubborn stupidity moves God enough to smash pottery against a wall. This is the image of a God we see in the Old Testament, a God who is deeply in relationship with God's people, who has hopes and dreams for how the people will live together in peace and harmony and justice, who longs for the people to trust God fully with their lives and with their communal life. And when the people fail, when they let members of the community go hungry and practice greed, when they turn their trust to foreign political and spiritual powers, God reacts like a spurned lover, a friend betrayed, or a parent whose children fall away with rebellion and self-destructive behavior. Today, as we consider and bring into our prayer the frustrations and losses that we carry coming out of this season of COVID-19, perhaps it is wise also to consider God's frustration and grief at what has happened. I imagine God's deep grief at the lives lost, the people thrown into poverty and despair, and all the suffering we've seen throughout the world. I imagine God's deep sadness at the injustice and racial inequality that has been spotlighted in our own nation this year. And I imagine God's frustration at people's and communities' selfishness and lack of care for one another. We read words of judgment today, and although they were written for another people in a very different time and place, we also need to be attentive to what they say to us. We need to consider what they tell us about what it means to be God's people in the world. Hear again these words from Jeremiah's temple sermon, which we read last week, this time from the paraphrase of Eugene Peterson's The Message. Clean up your act, O people, the way you live, the things you do, so that I can make my home with you in this place. Only if you clean up your act, the way you live, the things you do, Only if you do a total spring cleaning on the way you live and treat your neighbors. Only if you quit exploiting the street people and orphans and widows, no longer taking advantage of innocent people on this very site, and no longer using this temple as a front for other gods. Only then will I move into your neighborhood. How do we hear ourselves convicted in these words? How do we attend to the needs of the people on our streets in our city? What other gods and powers rule in our lives? There is a call here and throughout the Hebrew prophets to look closely at our lives and our church communities and to examine how well we are walking in the way of life that God intends for us. The image of God as the potter and us as clay is an image of continuing transformation, continuing reformation, continuing change to become the community that God wants us to be. It is also a beautiful image of God's care and the constant possibility of new beginnings. Professor Anathea Portier Young at Duke University wrote beautifully about the intimacy and the possibility that this image holds. And I'm going to read for you a significant section of her article titled "Clay That Has Not Yet Been Fired." She writes, Genesis 1 portrays God as the first poet, designer, metalworker, and landscaper. As God speaks, divides, fashions, and populates the cosmos. In Genesis 2, God first shapes clay, sculpting and forming humankind from the sediment of the earth. As God's hands knead and smooth the moist dirt, God breathes life into God's new creation, so that the human being is simultaneously grounded by the connection to earth and animated by the very breath of God. Now in Jeremiah 18, we hear that God did not simply shape us once for all. To this day, God tells Jeremiah, God's people are like clay that has not yet been fired. As we too go down into the potter's shed, we may learn the difference between clay that has been fired and clay that has not yet been fired. It is this: clay that has been fired dries, shrinks, and hardens into a permanent structure and shape. It may be decorative, it may be functional, and it is most often designed for a single purpose: a brick or tile, a bowl or plate, a mug, a vase, a pitcher, a jar, or a lamp. It is easy to break. Such clay, now dry ceramic, is often lovely and as often useful. It is specialized. It is also rigid and brittle. Clay that has not been fired is plastic. It may be shaped and reshaped infinitely. It is a material of possibility, moldable, flexible, responsive. Professor Portier Young goes on, though God shaped humankind and breathed life into its nostrils, God did not fire the clay from which she made us. No one of us is only a tile, a pitcher, or a lamp. God is able to shape us and reshape us. And God labors tirelessly at the wheel on our behalf. God assesses our character, perceives our strengths and weaknesses, builds on our strengths, and when flaws are found in us, works diligently to remedy them, just as we, the unfired clay, respond to the potter's touch, to water, and to the wheel. So God responds to us. COVID has brought us, in our lives, in our nation, and in our church, into a liminal time, an in-between time. A lot has changed inside of us, in our church, and in our world. And in that change, we can look for God's hands to reshape, to reform, to bring from us what God needs for this new time and place. It is a challenging time for us all, to be sure, but it can also be an opportunity, a time to grieve losses and address anxieties, a time to set new directions and new priorities, a time to pray and to experience ourselves as individuals and as a whole community of faith as clay in God's hands, paying attention to how God would shape us and put us to use in the world. Oh God, you are the potter. We are the clay, and we want to serve you in love and in faithfulness. Shape us and guide us today and always. Amen.